is take one of an interview between Karen Reeder and the date is the 1st of October 1998.
Could I ask when and where you were born?
I was born here in Kingston, actually.
And how long did you live here?
Well, I didn't actually live in Kingston. I lived on a farm about 28 miles west.
Oh, okay.
And I lived there until I was almost 19. And then I lived in Toronto for 11 years, went in training, nurse's training, and then was married and stayed there. We had two children and was pregnant with my third when we got transferred back to Kingston.
Hmm. Okay.
And I've been here since.
And your parents, what did they do?
My father was a farmer, and my mother was a teacher before I was born. In those days, she didn't teach very often afterward.
So you're the firstborn?
Yeah. There was one child who was a SIDS baby, a sudden infant death, ahead of me, and then I was the first live, or one who could stay alive.
Mm-hmm. And what about children after you in the family? Do you have brothers or
sisters?
I have
one brother who was not quite 2 years younger than I am. My father also, I said, was a farmer, but he was also quite active in municipal politics.
Were both your parents Canadian born?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They were.
And from around this area?
My mother was from Trenton, which is not that far away, an hour and a half. And I think she met my father when she first started to teach school in the area near where he lived. Mm-hmm. I think how that happened. Both of them were from farm families.
Okay.
Originally.
Uh-huh. If he was involved in municipal politics, would I be fair in assuming that that he was a farmer with perhaps a reasonable amount of property?
Yes, for the time it was. And it was a 200-acre farm, and it was either two or one that most people had at that point.
Right. Was religion important in your family when you were growing up?
Uh-huh. It was. We went to Sunday school, we went to church. My grandparents lived nearby, back on the same farm, and my grandfather was quite religious. Anglican, Church of England.
Mm-hmm. Was that the background of both of your parents?
No, my mom was United, but became Anglican when she was married.
Uh-huh.
And then after my father died, and she moved back to Trenton for a while, became United, and it depended on where she lived. She sort of moved back and forth.
When you were, you're growing up in a rural area, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to go far to get to school?
Not for the first 8 grades. It was just a country school, not very far away. So, and there were all of us in one classroom, from grade 1 through grade 8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then when I went to high school, I went about 15 miles on a bus.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Did you play with children from surrounding farms when you were growing up?
Mm-hmm. I did. And there was also a store, and probably played mostly with the kids who were boys who lived at the store.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Both boys and girls. There weren't a whole lot exactly my age. In fact, there really weren't any kids who were born in the same year as I was. So my friends tended to be either a little bit older or my brother's age, a little bit younger, but not a lot. So, we did have friends, and you played with everybody from all sort of socioeconomic strata. Even though, I said, we all lived on farms, there still tended to be a difference.
Mm.
It was a good mix. It probably was what you find maybe more in an inner city.
Oh, okay.
Only
okay.
It was country.
Uh-huh. So was it mixed also in terms of ethnic or racial background, or fairly uniform?
Pretty uniform. Pretty white Anglo-Saxon, I would say. Excuse me.
So you were playing with both girls and boys from from roughly the same background as yourself, though
pretty
perhaps
much.
With class differences in there or something.
Yeah.
Did you, what kind of games did you play with them? What sort of stuff?
We rode bikes, we swam, because we lived with water right on our, we bordered water. And we played a lot of ball in the winter, skated in the summer, and skated in the winter. And then we had sort of school games, like, where you, we called it Bear, but it was a game, I guess, that was unique to that school, but everybody played it.
Hmm.
Sometimes things like Cops and Robbers, or Cowboys and Indians, or Slid Downhill. That was in elementary school.
Any preference? Did you prefer playing with the girls or playing with the boys?
Well, you know, when I grew up, there were so few of us that whoever lived around played.
Right.
It didn't matter. In high school, we played, you know, got more segregated, and I played ball on a team that was just girls or women. But not in elementary school. We played against other schools, but it was a mix. If you could throw the ball or hit it, you played.
Right. Mm.
So I didn't, it wasn't really segregated at all, I wouldn't say.
Mm. Now, what about what you wore when you were, but this is before the teen years.
Okay.
How would you describe yourself as a child?
As to what I wore? Well, I can remember an aunt coming over from the States and bringing me sundresses, you know, that were sort of frilly. And I would wear those in the summer. I think to school I mostly wore pants, you know, jeans or pants.
Was that?
That, and I'm not sure why that was, to tell you the truth. I think that we did. It probably was just easier to play things without having a skirt on. But I can remember little pictures of when I was early in elementary school having a dress on.
Mm.
But as I got older, I mostly remember wearing jeans, sometimes skirts.
Was it?
I don't remember being very conscious of which it was. I mean, I don't remember having a huge preference for frilly dresses, or I don't also remember being really adverse to wearing them.
So you wouldn't have described yourself as a tomboy?
No,
or anything
although
like
I
that.
Was good at playing ball and skating and swimming, but I wouldn't have said I was a tomboy. No.
Right.
Mm. No.
Okay. How would you, did you enjoy your childhood?
I suppose to a certain degree I did. I think I was always a fearful kid. And I'm not sure what I was afraid of, but I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of heights, you know, of falling if I was up high. So playing in the barn I didn't like. I was always afraid I would fall. I was afraid, I think, of people's disapproval, my mother's particularly. And yet I had a good time when I would be out doing things with other kids for the most part.
Were your parents strict?
Yeah, I would say they were reasonably strict.
Hmm. What kind of...
You know, a fair structure and, yes, certain expectations that we would succeed and behave and go to Sunday school, get good marks, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
What kind of values do you think they raised you with?
Well, I think they raised us to be, you know, to care about what went on in society, to be honest, to be loyal, and to... When I say care about what went on in society, I think that they were pretty, looked out for everybody who lived in the area, you know, so it wasn't there, that everybody had value. That education was important. I think it wasn't for a girl, it wasn't that education was important because you were going to have a career, it was that education was important because you might be a widow someday and have to earn a living.
Right.
So it was important, but it was more important for boys. when you got past high school, university was more important for boys. Mm.
So it was okay with your parents that you went off to nursing training?
Oh, definitely. I had to do something. Mm. But not that I ever didn't want to, but there was no question that, and I knew that from the time I was old enough to talk, that was expected. My father's sisters, all my mother's family, they the women were all educated. Mom was a teacher, her sister was a nurse, another one was a dietitian. And my dad had one sister, a secretary, and the other three were all nurses. So, and tons of aunts who were teachers. So it was sort of teacher-nurse, because my mother didn't think being a secretary was quite appropriate. It was Latin instead of typing in high school.
So it wasn't the expectation that as soon as you left high school you would get married?
Oh, definitely not. No, no, it wasn't.
Would you say, in that regard, were your parents typical of or different to the general
in the neighborhood?
Yeah, the mood of the neighborhood.
Probably it wasn't typical of the neighborhood. It was typical of our family and the people who owned the store who had the same ideas. Their kids had to go to school. Mm. But no, I would say a lot of them, if they finished high school, that was considered enough. Mm. And lots didn't do that.
Right. Now, did you have a clear sense when you were growing up of what was good behavior and what was bad behavior?
I don't think I mean, certainly to some degree I did. But another way, I've had this image sometimes of myself as a little girl standing in the middle of the room thinking I have to do what is right and what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do. So I don't remember doing a lot of mischievous things. I think I knew that wasn't something that I would be given accolades for. And I think that maybe was partly being the girl and being the oldest. I think my brother got away with doing more things, like sitting in the creek and so on and so forth, than I maybe had. I was expected to know how to behave, I guess.
To what degree did the two of you help out around the house or around the farm?
Well, that was segregated. I mean, I helped out, for the most part, the house stuff, and he did the outside stuff, if there were things to be done. It was certainly expected that school came first, so we didn't slave at home, but we had things that we were supposed to do, but more on Saturdays.
Right. Mm-hmm. So with a farm of that size, I'm assuming that that at particular times of the year, your parents would have hired help.
Oh yeah, we had hired help most of the time. Mm. Yeah. And my mother at times would have help in the house. Mm. Not on a regular basis, but if she needed to paint or wash walls, that kind of stuff, she would. And sometimes other times we would have somebody around.
Somebody from the neighborhood?
Yeah, it was. Somebody from the neighborhood. As far as the men, we had about three or maybe four. What they called, after the war, men were able to come to the country if they would work on a farm for a year, and then they could move on. So we had people, a fellow from Poland, a fellow from Denmark, and a person from Portugal, I think. I can't remember whether we had anybody else or not, but I remember those three. Mm. And they lived with us. They lived in the house with us and worked on the farm. And my dad had, he died when he was 48. And I'm not sure when things began, but at least for the last 3 or 4 years of his life, he really wasn't in great health. Mm. He'd had some heart attacks and some surgeries and infections and so on. So we had, somebody, the fellow from Denmark actually had been with us for about a year and stayed on for a long time afterward, until Mom sold the farm, actually.
I was just going to ask what happened to the farm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. So how long did she keep it going after he died?
Well, she kept it going from 19, he died in 1952, and she sold it the year that Andy was born, so that was 1967. So it'll be 15 years.
Hmm.
Oh, Tom and I had been gone for quite a while before she sold it.
And so she managed the place. She oversaw all of the operation.
Yeah, she did.
What kind of farm?
She taught 1 year of that time. Mm. And I think just found that she couldn't do it all.
Right.
And so she quit.
She didn't.
Well, it started out when I was a little kid. We had cows and horses and pigs and hens. And then we didn't have any horses, and then we didn't have any cows, and then eventually we didn't have any chickens, and it was just pigs. And that sort of happened. So by the time Mom took it over, it was hens and pigs, and by the time she sold the farm, it was just hogs.
Quite a number of them.
Yeah,
I guess.
Quite a lot of them. I honestly don't know. I couldn't say how many, but yes, quite a few.
Did you enjoy school?
Oh, I liked school. Yeah, loved school.
What about it was especially appealing?
Well, I think I liked the social part, but I think I really liked the work. I loved math and grammar and reading, and yeah, I just could do it in science. Mm. I didn't like art, but academic subjects, I did well, and I liked it. I just really quite enjoyed it.
And was that true when you went to the school that was a bit further away?
Also,
you still enjoyed that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Did you acquire a whole new set of friends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the most part. Now there were the one friend I had, a boy, I remained good friends with for years. I mean, he was best man at my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I need new friends.
Mm. And what sort of adolescent were you?
Good one. But when I started to high school, having come from that small elementary one, I didn't know very many people. And gradually, I got to know a lot. So I would say I had quite a few friends, quite a lot of friends. So, you know, I always went to all of the school dances and played volleyball and went back and forth to friends' homes, you know, so for weekends or overnights and so forth, because you could do that on the bus. You just get on somebody else's bus and away you go. And had about three good girlfriends that we, you know, stayed good friends all through high school. But there were... I mean, it was a bigger group than that, but there were sort of three of us who sort of did everything together. And the same boy that I was saying. I think we were quite good friends.
So you were friends, but you weren't dating?
No, although we went, you know, first formal we went to together and so forth, but we didn't. So we did go on, I suppose you'd call them dates, but we were never boyfriend-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I had boyfriends in high school. It wouldn't be Neil.
When did you begin having boyfriends?
I was about grade 10, I guess.
And how was that fine with your parents?
Yeah. Well, my father, by that time, had died. Yeah. And it was okay with my mother as long as she knew who they were and they came in the house. And I was home early. I think she certainly didn't like, she would never say you had a boyfriend. Like she just, you know, you could go to a dance or something with somebody, but you could never really say it was your boyfriend. She, like, there was always seemed this sense that that wasn't a good thing.
Mm.
So you had to be pretty careful and certainly no obvious show of affection in any way. I mean, not just sexual, but even... you know, hand-holding or anything, that wouldn't happen in front of the mother.
Okay.
And it was clear that she didn't have much time for that or didn't think that I should indulge in it. I suppose she was afraid I'd get pregnant.
Mm.
But she was pretty stern.
So were you aware by that stage of her and other people's attitudes towards girls who did get pregnant before marriage?
Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, I can't remember when I was first aware of that, but I don't ever remember not being aware that that wasn't a good thing to do.
What?
Like it was have to get married.
Mm.
She had to get married.
And so there were girls in the area that that had happened to?
Uh-huh. There were, and, you know, continued to be, and I would hear about ones that, you know, were almost as old as my parents, or as old as. I mean, she had to get married. Oh, it was very clear that that wasn't a good thing to do. And I think I don't know what I thought would happen to me, but I knew it would be the end of the world.
Mm.
If that ever happened.
What
wouldn't
else?
Have been tolerated.
Yeah. What else had she told you about anything to do with sex or your body or anything like that?
Well, I knew about having, you know, I knew about babies, and I knew about menstruation before that happened to me.
Hmm.
And I think partly because of having so many aunts who were nurses, I would hear a lot of talk about surgeries and, you know, so there was that was easily talked about. I knew hysterectomies, what that meant, and D&Cs and all this kind of stuff. I don't remember ever not knowing, you know. Those questions got answered. When I asked about how babies were formed, it was pretty factual. I mean, it was just, you know, this is where the penis goes and then you have a baby. And there was no connection to loving or anything along that line. As if there's any enjoyment, it was just as if this is what you do. And I thought for years you only did it if you wanted a baby.
That's
that gross thing.
I'm thinking for that period of time, though, even that level of specific information was perhaps a little bit unusual.
Maybe. It might have been.
Did you talk to your girlfriends at all about any of this stuff?
We didn't talk much about it. I mean, oddly enough, we didn't talk a lot. I can remember talking about it more when we were getting married. And then, you know, what's it like? And it, again, even then, it was just sort of, I mean, either it hurts or it's okay or, you know, it wasn't. Not the way you would talk about that kind of thing today at all. It really wasn't discussed. Not by my friends.
Now, you said that your mother wouldn't tolerate any showing of affection between you and the boyfriend in her presence. Does that mean that none of it went on, or was there some
on? It just didn't happen in front of my mother. And she wasn't very affectionate either. You know, she wasn't. Still isn't, you know, very touchy, or it just wasn't part of her being.
Did you, you talked about going to dances. Now, where would you have to go some distance to go to a dance?
Yeah, well, back to the high school, so it would be about 15 miles away in that venue.
Mm.
And I guess we just took turns driving. I learned to drive well before my father died. I mean, we just, in those days, you kind of learned in the driveways and stuff. So I got my license as soon as I was 16, and I don't ever remember having a problem using the car if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But often a boy in the neighborhood would drive in, or I'd stay with a friend and, you know, go back and forth with that person. But I guess I must have driven myself sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, I wouldn't have driven just myself, but I must have been the one who did the driving maybe sometimes.
Right. If these dances were held at the high school,
uh-huh.
Was there any alcohol?
Not that I ever tasted. I'm sure there was, you know, out in the cars. I'm positive there was. But not, I didn't ever taste it through high school.
You didn't smell it on the breath of any of the guys who asked you to dance or anything?
Well, you know, I suppose I must have, but I don't remember it. Mm. I mean, it was as though the sort of fast girls or the loose girls maybe would have a drink, and some of the guys that you really didn't think you wanted to have much to do with, but the rest of us didn't. It was, and probably the guys did, but I don't think the guys did that I would be with when I was with them. They probably certainly did other times, I expect. Because I think of my brother, and I know he did, but I don't think I even knew he did. while I was still at home and we were all still in high school. I mean, maybe he didn't at that point, because he was, that guy was 18, not quite 19, he would have been 16.
Mm. What about smoking? Did any of you smoke?
A lot of the guys smoked, but very few of the girls, and I didn't ever. I shouldn't say I didn't ever. That's not true. My cousin and I used to smoke, and we'd hide in the bathroom and think my mother couldn't smell it. But we just didn't do that very often. It was just sort of on occasion. But, you know, once a year, maybe, at the most. But I didn't smoke. I wouldn't call it smoking at that point.
Did either of your parents, when your father was still alive, either of your parents drink any or smoke?
My mother didn't either. But my father smoked. He smoked cigars and a pipe. I never saw him smoke a cigarette. Mm-hmm. And I think he smoked until he had heart attacks, really. And then I guess he had to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I would see him drink beer, and there was usually some scotch in the cupboard. But I would just see him drinking beer in the summertime when it was hot. So I didn't see much alcohol around. And I had aunts who thought it was absolutely sinful. I didn't get the impression that it was sinful to have it around. But it just wasn't used a whole lot.
Mm.
And at that point, you weren't supposed to drink till you were 21, so I really was never in a place where it was even there to drink. Not the same as it was for my own kids.
Right. Were you by this time dressing any differently? I mean, I would assume that when you went to the dances, you were dressed up.
I dressed, I think, just about the same way. I think there were restrictions on jeans in high school, but we could wear slacks, pants, and we did.
Mm-hmm.
But I wore skirts, too, probably just as much.
Did you wear makeup?
Not much. I think I wore lipstick, but I don't think I wore much else. I never have worn a lot of makeup, but I've always worn some lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a period later on where I probably wore more. But I didn't in high school.
Was there any particular opinion at that time about girls who did wear makeup?
Well, yeah.
Or was it a case of degree?
It was more a degree. You didn't want to look made up. That wasn't good either. But you wanted to be clean and tidy. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It
sounds very old-fashioned when I listen to myself. It was a real
context of the time.
Yeah, it was, and I was probably pretty normal for the time. And I think by the time I got in training, my behaviors were pretty normal, and the expectations and so forth. You're saying, were they different from when I was on the farm? Yeah, I think it was. I think my parents' expectations were different. But then when I got in training, I think parents of all of us had much more similar expectations of us. That's why we all ended up there, probably.
Right. Did you keep a journal while you were growing up?
No. Oh, I had a diary, but I didn't keep it on an ongoing basis.
Mm. What kinds of things would you record in it?
I think I would talk about what was going on and who I liked and who I didn't like and who I was mad at and who I wasn't and that kind of thing that you didn't really want to tell anybody else.
Yeah.
But you could tell an anonymous soul.
Were you ever worried about anyone in your family reading it?
I wouldn't have wanted my mother to read it. I don't know whether she ever did. But I didn't want my mother to know what I was thinking and feeling, because I didn't think she would approve. You know, if I liked somebody or felt attracted to somebody or had any sexual feelings, I wouldn't want my mother to know that at all.
So you wrote about boys.
So I could maybe write. I could maybe some of it was right, or I could be mad at my brother Tom.
Uh-huh.
Although we got along quite well. I mean, we were pretty good friends as well as brothers.
Did you ever, in your diary, did you use any kind of code or disguise people's identities or anything like that?
I don't remember that I did that. I think one of the other things that probably affected how I was is the fact that my father had died, and we felt somewhat protective of my mother. I mean, we felt we can't do anything that would upset her. Mm. So I might have been a little different, given different circumstances. But I think I really took on that responsibility at that point. But it just wouldn't be a good thing if I did anything that would be upsetting to my mother, because she was working hard and so on.
Right. So you finished high school and you went off to nurse's training.
Mm-hmm.
And how long was that?
That was 3 years. It was a diploma program. Mm. And so I did that. It was downtown Toronto. And I married. I had all through that training a boyfriend whom I did marry, and I'd met him when we were in grade 13. Mm. And it just happened that he went to school in Toronto as well.
Mm.
So that was 3 years. Then I was married that coming, exactly 3 years after I'd
And then 2 years later I had another one.
And then that interim moved to Kingston. And then when David was 3, I think, I went back to work at the hotel here at one of the hospitals on a part-time basis. And it really was quite part-time, a day on the weekend kind of thing. And then a year later, when David was in grade 1, I had also been fairly active in things like brownies and community type things. But anyway, a friend and I were doing, or I met her, I guess, through this, brownie leaders, and we were both nurses, and we both thought that if we ever wanted to work more, we had to have more than a diploma. So we trotted down to Queen's and enrolled and ended up with our degrees in nursing science. And I did work part-time through that whole thing, because when I started, I moved from thinking I probably wouldn't work full-time. So I thought I have to at least work enough to pay my tuition while I'm doing it. And it actually took 7 years, because at that time you had to repeat every solitary thing. And we also, I mean, she had 5 kids and I had 3. So we did it on a part-time basis, and we got so toward the end we were going much more on full-time, but it's 23 credits, I think, we had to have at that point.
Mm.
And by the time I finished, I knew I wanted to work full-time, and I did.
And what year did you finish?
81.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So during, just to backtrack a little bit, at what point would you say you experienced your first attraction to another woman?
Well, it was not until about 1990. But I knew there was something the matter. Like, I knew the summer that I was being married that it wasn't really a good thing to be doing.
Mm.
But I think I was afraid of letting my mother know. I mean, I'd gone out with this guy for all this time. And I think I confused lust with love.
Hmm.
And I had not had a sexual relationship with anybody before. And I knew I wanted that. So I sort of thought, well, I guess I must love him. So therefore, I have to marry him. Because all this goes together. And yet I knew it wasn't quite right. And I wouldn't say that our marriage was terrible. I mean, there were lots of good things about it. But I kind of always knew that there was something that wasn't right about it. But I thought it was me. I just thought, well, I don't know how to love somebody. You know, I grew up in kind of this cold environment. My mom was a bit cold. And my father had died, and I just thought, I don't know how. It's just never worked. And here I am. You know, something's missing here that other people seem to have, but I don't know what it is. I just thought, well, this is the way it is, and that's how I've chosen, and I've got three kids, so I stay in it. Mm-hmm. And then a colleague came to work at the health unit who was out from the day she came, practically. And we got to be really good friends, and before, quite a while later, really, it would be about 2 years, I guess. I've got other feelings here. Mm-hmm. Over a period of, I suppose, a few months, 6 or 7 months. And it was like, God, that's the piece of the puzzle that's been missing. That's what is wrong. It's not anything the matter with me. It's just, I chose the wrong sex.
So you got married what year?
In
1960.
And I didn't separate till 1991.
Okay.
Almost. Was that right? Yeah. By the time we really separated, I knew. I had known as around Christmas time that. And I still didn't know I was going to separate. I just knew that I knew what was going on.
Mm.
Or I was pretty sure.
Mm.
But I wasn't sure what I was going to do about it, because there was no way I was going to have a relationship with this person. She was already in another one.
Mm.
Although, the feelings were reciprocal, I think. But it was obviously not going to work.
Mm.
So it took me about 6 months, I suppose, of real turmoil to... And then, I don't know, probably by about April. I mean, I would say from Christmas I knew, but it was probably April or so that Len and I first really started to talk about it. And then it was just like a roller coaster for about 2 months. And there just didn't seem to be any way. Like, we talked about, how can this work, or can't it? And it became pretty apparent that it really couldn't for him. And I wasn't content to stay in it. And I was much more removed from the relationship than he was. So he was much more angry and feeling rejected. I had known for a long time that this wasn't good. I hadn't thought that I was going to get out of it, but I can remember sitting at the cottage one summer after people had gone away, the kids probably had gone home, thinking, gosh, if it's going to be like this for the rest of my life, I can't.
So what was it that was missing? Was there anything in the physical sexuality that was missing for you?
I was never, Len used to ask me sometimes if I thought I was lesbian, because I wasn't as responsive, or I was never keen on initiating it. I would usually reach an orgasm, but I think it was just more the physical stimulation. It wasn't as though, like, the love part of it didn't seem to be there. It was just as though, you could masturbate and feel the same way. Only, if you're masturbating, you can visualize what you want. Or, when I say what you want, but whatever thoughts you want to think about. So he always thought that I think he thought too there was something wrong with me.
Hmm.
And I did too. I just thought, I just think there's something very cold, fishy about me. Because this just doesn't ever feel like I had expected that it would.
And you hadn't had any, for example, crushes on female teachers or anything like that?
Not that I would really call crushes. I mean, I think I always felt more comfortable with women and girls and like the look of them better in their bodies and so forth. But I would never thought of it as an attraction until later.
Mm.
I don't think I knew it even existed. Probably if I did for a long time, but I certainly didn't as I grew up.
When would you say was the first time you I don't know, heard words like gay or homosexual or lesbian or...
Well, in high school, I heard lots of gay men, you know, homosexual men. Because there was a guy who lived in the area. And then this fellow who was such a good friend is gay. But I didn't know that. And his brother is as well, his older brother. So I think I knew Harold and Minor had been together for years. Like, I'm sure I was likely still in high school. So I knew that. But I didn't know that women could. I didn't know that women could love women. I just thought some women lived together.
When did you begin to hear about lesbians?
Now, I don't know. I remember an aunt who had a female friend that we wondered whether, and I think I knew before then. But I'm not even sure that we talked about it much when I was a student nurse. You know, as far long ago as that. I don't think we talked about gay men either. I think maybe it was talked about, though, the male end of it amongst the female nurses.
Mm.
But I don't think we ever talked about lesbians. I mean, you think back, and I can look at all these, there are 81 of us. I wasn't the only one, I'm sure. But we never knew that. And... So I was probably in my 50s before I knew. And I think I even thought then it was kind of odd. And my ex-husband's sister's husband's sister had, Jesse and Alice, they were a couple, but nobody ever talked about them being a couple. It was just Jesse and Liz with Alice. They visit together, and when they come, they sleep together, but it was just as though Jesse and Alice work together, and they're good friends.
Now, you mentioned masturbation, and one of my questions was about whether or not, when you were growing up, you knew such a thing existed.
Yeah, I don't know that I knew what the name was, but I did know it existed.
Now, was that by experimentation, or was that by being told that one didn't do it?
No, I was never told you didn't do it. I always had the sense that it wasn't a very good thing to do, but I did it. And I think I found out about it quite early, you know, puberty. Mm-hmm. And I have a cousin who is a couple of years older than I am, and her mother had given her a book about sexuality and, you know, puberty and how babies are born with pictures and so forth. And I think Jane also knew that if you stimulated yourself, you had certain feelings, and we tried it. And I thought, yeah, you do.
So you tried it in each other's company?
Yeah, we did, in bed. I can remember. I mean, not... she did and I did, but yeah, we did.
And did you, at any point, I mean, you talked about visualizing and that, sort of, did you fantasize at that point? And if so, about what or whom?
Well, it would be still guys, still boys, or I'd sort of relive something I'd read, or, or sort of a mixture of the two.
Mm.
But I never really, I shouldn't say I never had a sexual relationship. I did one boyfriend, and it was ghastly. And it really, nothing, there was really no penetration. I think he thought there was. I think he, but there wasn't. And I just thought, oh, God, this is awful. So that was my experience. With Len, it wasn't awful, truly. I mean, there was lots about it that was okay. But I could sort of do without it. And I never thought that I could manage the kids by myself. So, I mean, I didn't think about leaving him. I really didn't ever think about leaving him, even though I shouldn't say I didn't. I thought about leaving him, but not really? I mean, I thought about it, but thought, no, I can't do it.
Right.
But once I knew that there could be something different, I was really aware. I mean, I can remember clearly one day thinking, you know, I don't love this man, and I can make a choice to leave if I need to, if I want to, and probably I knew I was going to at that point. It was just like an instant that this somebody was saying, you know, you don't love him, you don't have to stay. And I kind of knew then I wouldn't.
And that was after you experienced that attraction to
the
other woman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. What is your feeling about how you, I guess, identify your sexuality and did in the past? Or would you say, have you always been lesbian?
I guess I would. When I think back about it, but I certainly didn't ever identify myself as that at the time. I think I always thought, you know, I always had the notion that maybe had I married somebody else, but I never saw that other person, that maybe it would be better. I think I just thought I chose wrong. But I never had a feeling of real attraction for another man that I thought that I wanted to go to bed with. I mean, some I thought were better looking than others and so on, or more attractive than others, but I didn't ever really lust after anybody else. And then actually I have a gay son and a lesbian daughter, and my daughter had come out before I did, so about 2 years before, I guess. So I actually spent a lot of time talking to this same person that I fell in love with. And I was fairly sure she was lesbian before she told us that she was.
That must have been quite the little period of time for your husband.
Yeah, it must have. I mean, when I think about it, it must have been awful. He was tremendously angry.
So, what are your thoughts on all of those years that you were engaged in heterosexual activity, and how do you sort of account for what happened in that time?
How do I look back, and what do I think of it?
Yeah.
It seems like it's just another part of my life. Like my other life is how I think about it, because it really is quite different. I had some good experiences in that other time. And I had friends. I played bridge with a group of people from the time I first moved there until I moved away, and still was playing. But I wouldn't, again, the connection was different. We got together every 2 weeks for 20 some years, but it wasn't the same kind of friendship that I have with friends today. It was more superficial, and you knew what you could talk about and what you couldn't. And we talked about a lot of things, but I always knew, I always had a sense that I was a little bit different. And I didn't think of it as lesbian at the time. I thought of it as more social. And I was a public health nurse who worked in the North End. And so I would have different viewpoints. And I, you know, some of the people that I would be visiting, a lot of them, would be young kids who were having kids. And there was no tolerance for that kind of thing amongst my friends. The poverty that you would see, and the differences between what went on at the school where our kids had gone when they were in elementary school, and what would happen in some of these other ones, because we would do what we call preschool assessments. And it didn't mean anything to anybody else, you know, that there wasn't, and it did to me. I thought, you know, as a society, what's going on? But they wouldn't really know that that existed, and they weren't very interested in it, or if they were, it was sort of one of, what's, you know, tell us one of your stories.
sort of like a voyeuristic
story. Yeah, it wasn't as if they really felt or felt what was going to happen to themselves and their own children if society would go on the way it is and still is.
Yeah.
So I think I had a different social conscience. And then my background was different. I think it was health and community health. And I would be thinking things like, you know, lowering taxes isn't the way to go because we need these services. And, you know, so we would really look at things quite differently. And I was quite happy to go away without my husband, and a lot of them weren't. And I thought, you know, what's wrong with me that I want to do this? And they don't. But and I didn't know just why that was. So I have few of those friends today. One of them I'm still good friends with. And I'm still good friends with some of, like, the one that I went back to Queens with and so forth. You know, some.
Right.
But other ones just... Well, one of the things, one of the women who played in the bridge group, her husband's sister had been married to a United Church minister who was gay, and she found out after having had two children that he was. And it was just as though that was the worst thing that could possibly have happened. And the kids grew up, and she remarried, and the kids were married, and he, the father, married them. And the grandfather, who also was United Church minister, but on the other side, wouldn't go to the wedding. And the woman that I played bridge with would make comments like, well, we're going to go because we want to see the spectacle.
Oh.
But it's all, I mean, you knew you couldn't talk about, so I couldn't talk about how I felt about this. Or I felt I couldn't, because, I mean, in retrospect, I should have, but I didn't at the time.
Mm.
But when I came out, or when I fell in love, I mean, it seemed to me that I had to be upfront with Len. This is what's happening. This is who I am. I don't know whether that was good or bad, but I was open about this is what's happening to me, or what has happened, or what I've learned about myself, and I don't want to live this way any longer. I thought that he would accept that, and it would be easier for him than as if I just don't love you anymore kind of thing. But it wasn't. I think it was difficult. And then some of these, well, this particular person that I was talking about, the wedding, made the comment that if I continued to play bridge, she wouldn't. So it was a really hard year, or a few years, to settle down.
Now, when you were training to become a nurse, and then in the years that you were working, and I'm thinking here before the late 60s, was there anybody in your profession that you suspected or knew was lesbian?
Well, my aunt is the one that comes to mind. She too was my dad's sister, was a nurse. Is the mother of this cousin that I was saying introduced me to masturbation. And she had this friend. She was working at the time here at KGH, a friend who was also a nurse. And it just seemed as though it was an unusually close friendship. So I suspected that was a lesbian relationship. And that's the first one that I... And I don't know yet whether it was or not. I mean, my aunt is still alive, and her husband's been dead for a long time, and Helen's been gone for years. And I don't know, you know, and I guess that's another thing that makes me think there was, because other friends tend to stay friends. And
right.
And Helen's totally disappeared.
When was that you suspected?
Well, I don't know. We lived I think we lived in Kingston at the time. So it would have to be, we moved here in 68. So it would be in the 70s, I suppose. I mean, maybe the early 70s. In that area, or era.
So no suspect nurses before that.
Well, certainly not classmates. And then the classmates at Queen's, I guess it would be, you know, late 70s before we really got so connected, because we did a lot of what we did under arts and science part-time. So it was really the last 2 years that we got to know the nursing students with whom we graduated very well. And I don't think that I did. I don't think I knew them well enough, because I'd go home every night with Joan and we'd go to our own families. So what, we didn't have much of a social life with them. And even in retrospect, I can't think. I mean, certainly now I can look at some of the nurses that I've worked with at the health unit and think that have some suspicions. But it, nobody's out, or ever came out, that I've ever heard of there. But it's interesting, isn't it? I don't know many nurses who, I know some, but I've met them more recently. I didn't know them then.
Well, I think that's all the questions I have.
Yeah. Well, I can't think of anything else that's terribly relevant.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah.